You know, it's great when we can speak with experts who can help us gain some greater insights and hopefully a greater appreciation for diversity. And Dr. Kent Guyon is one of the experts who helped us with that previously. Let's check out that conversation. We're going to have some good music, too, to kind of help us get in the mood for loving people of all ethnicities. Oh, yeah, it is all about the love train now, ladies and gentlemen. It is Black History Month, but you know how we love to celebrate it. We love to make sure that we understand what's been happening within the Black community. But what would be happening in the Black community if we had not had people from the white community, the Hispanic community, the Jewish community, so many other communities helping the Black community out? It really is about diversity. It really is about a train of love. And I tell you, with someone who was here with us to help us really get that message, he was here with us before. And in fact, I think it was November, December of 2012. He is rejoining us again today, and I'm so glad to have him. Dr. Kent Guyon, who is Vice President of Diversity and Inclusion at the new GRU, the GRU, Georgia Regents University. Dr. Kent Guyon, welcome back.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be here.
I tell you what, it's been so great. You know, when you were here last, we talked about the tremendous works that Georgia Regents is doing in the community, not just within the institution, but across the community, to really help us be one, to help us be one community. I love hearing our president talk about how this is one nation, one America. This is one community, and Georgia Regents is really doing a lot to help strengthen that bond of community.
I couldn't agree more. Black History Month is one of the opportunities that we can do that because we have such a rich history in our community, and we have so many experts on the campus that can give us a little bit of the academic side of what's been going on.
And I tell you, when you look at the strength that's there, and of course, I think that by now they are legendary. You know, the number of people you have on campus who have been speaking to the community for years. In fact, I really wouldn't be mistaken if I said for decades, and helping us gain a greater appreciation for what's been taking place. But Dr. Guyon, if you would, before we proceed any further, if you would, for just kind of as a refresher,
yes,
for the people who heard us last year, but also for the benefit of the people who may have missed that conversation, if you would give them more in-depth insights into Dr. Kent Guyon and what it means to be Vice President of Diversity and Inclusion at GRU.
I'd be happy to do that. You know, I always have thought that there are many ways that we can contribute to our community and to our to the education of students. We typically think about it through classrooms or through training them to be professionals. And then if you go a little bit beyond that and think about where our society has moved, it is important for every person to be respectful and to be welcoming of the various cultures and the various experiences that we all bring to bear. And that really is what diversity and inclusion is all about. So my role is really to ensure that our organization attends to these things, not only in the classroom, but in the workplace, and to look for opportunities to coordinate diversity-related activities, as well as to give us our own checkup on how we're doing in terms of are we meeting the different objectives that we have, just to ensure that every person who comes in contact with us has a feeling of being welcome and being included in the things that we do, as well as creating students who really can be part of our global society. And that is just hugely important.
I love that. And you know, you mentioned the fact that it's about being welcoming. Do you find that there are certain factors that can be in place, whether within a person, within a group, within an institution, that have an impact on how successful we are or are not at being welcoming across the boards, as opposed to being welcoming towards this group, but maybe not that group?
Sure. You know, I think it's all rooted in respect. And respect is one of those characteristics that that really allows you to listen and to appreciate the differences that can benefit what you're trying to accomplish. Once you understand that everybody on this earth has a different set of experiences than you do, then it makes you want to take one moment to listen to see if there are some benefits that you can reach together. And that really is, you know, that fundamental thread that you find in groups that are welcoming and that are able to bridge some of the differences that we may have.
Yeah. And I like the fact that you said that we may be able to bridge some of the differences that we may have. Just because we have differences, that doesn't mean there's no bridge that can bring us together anyway.
That's exactly right. It's not about giving up something. It's not about turning over. But it's really about respecting and finding connection points. It's almost impossible not to have a connection point of some sort with the person who's right next to you, no matter how different they may look from you, or if they speak a different language. There typically is something that we all can connect to without really changing who we are. And that's where you find the benefits, and that's where you find the synergy and the positive attributes that allow us to work together.
You mentioned that the fact that the person next to us, it is impossible to come away without finding something that connects us. And you brought to my memory a conversation that I heard, I guess about 5 or 6 years ago. I heard this gentleman discussing a study, the results of a study that he had read about. And he talked about three people. And he talked about how there was a white male who was average size, a black male who was average size, and a white woman who was overweight by quite a few pounds. He said, if you looked at the three of them, and the question were asked, who has more in common? Most people would just automatically assume that the white woman and the white man had more in common from a biological, physiological standpoint than the black man with either of the other two. And he said, actually, you'd be wrong. He said, there's actually, when you have a person who is many, many pounds overweight, there are some things taking place in that person's body that makes them very different from the person who is an average weight. And he said, the scientists have proven that from a physiological standpoint, that white man of average size and that black man of average size have more in common than that white man and that white woman.
That's right. That's one of the things that learning about the human genome has allowed us to see. That, you know, sometimes the distinctions within our genes don't really manifest themselves in what we see. But, you know, when you go deep inside those cells, that's where the similarities are. And they'll be quite surprising sometimes.
Yes, yeah, sir.
Absolutely right.
And I was so fascinated by that, because I got to tell you, I would have been one in the group who would have said the white man and the white woman have more in common physiologically. But he said the science says otherwise.
That's right. 30 years ago, all of us would have thought that, and we all would have been wrong. So that's kind of one of those things that science can bring to us in understanding and really kind of, you know, help us to get beyond some of the limitations that we create just by what we think we see.
You know, one of the things that really makes that so significant in my mind, too, Dr. Guyon, is that it seems like this welcoming, creating this welcoming environment, this environment where we're all accepted, we're all embraced, could be optional. And I guess it's something that, from a number of perspectives, people would determine, well, we don't have to do it. I'm saying that to ask this. when it comes to diversity and inclusion, is it really important? Does it really matter whether we create a welcoming environment or not?
Absolutely, it does. And this is what I usually kind of fall back on, especially if you think about patient care, if you think about the best way to be healthy, if you think about the best way to provide education, it is essential that we look at the differences in the way we think, in the way we perceive the world, in order to get the best outcome. And if we try to kind of go with a one size fits all model, it just won't work. We'll have people who are always not part of the positive outcomes that we want to have. So, you know, at one point it probably was an option that we could have considered. Now it is fundamental. You know, I heard a corporate vice president say the other day that they look to have students interview them who have had cultural competency training because their companies are global. They have to work with people from all over the world. It's not an option anymore. You know, everyone has a partner in some other place in this world, and it's important to understand their culture so that you can be effective. So, you know, as we become, again, a more global society, as we find out more about differences between people, it becomes more and more important that we have some sense of what we can do to make things work better.
When we come back, could you help us understand why it's not just simply a matter of saying, okay, well, we need to be able to reach out to other cultures. Why can't we just have all white employees reaching out to those cultures and train them in cultural competency?
She'll be happy to talk about that.
All right, Dr. Guyon, your guest and mine will be right back with us.